for our message to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read two verses, verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now here's the subject. I'm asking a question. When is the gospel the gospel? When is the gospel? We say we preach the gospel. Everybody says we preach the gospel. Well, when is the gospel we preach actually God's gospel, the gospel? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, definite article, not a gospel, but the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now this man, Paul, was confident of one thing. He knew the gospel. Paul knew the gospel. He would not be shaken by the legalist who would add man's works and man's righteousness to the work and righteousness of Christ. He said, "I do not confuse, I do not distort the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Jesus Christ is dead in vain." He would not be swayed, he would not be shaken by the legalist. He knew the gospel. "I do not confuse the gospel, the grace of God. If righteousness come by works, if righteousness come by the law, Jesus Christ died in vain." And Paul would not be shaken by the libertine who would turn the grace of God into a license to sin. They said, "Well, let us sin that grace may abound. Since God saves by grace and grace alone, since works and man's righteousness makes no contribution to his salvation, then let's sin that grace may abound." This was Paul's answer to those people. "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Paul knew the gospel. He wouldn't be swayed or shaken either by the legalist or by the libertine. Nor would he be shaken by those who put a question mark on his apostleship. He said, "I am too an apostle. I'm not one whit behind the chief apostle." He said, "I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. And the gospel which I preach was revealed to me by the Lord himself." He said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, just 10 verses down from where I was reading, he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So he would not be shaken by those who charged him with being a false prophet and not being an apostle. And then he knew this. He knew that he did not receive that gospel from men. He said in Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach is not after men. I neither received it of man. I wasn't taught it by man. I was taught this gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He knew the gospel, and he knew that he knew the gospel. He wouldn't be swayed by legalism. He wouldn't be swayed by licentiousness. He would not be swayed by those who charged him with being a false prophet. He knew that he received his gospel by divine revelation, and he would not be diverted. He would not be turned away in any way by what any person said to him or about him. And then secondly, I know this about the apostle. He was confident, absolutely confident, not only that he knew the gospel, he was confident that he did preach the gospel. He called it my gospel, my gospel. He called it my gospel because God gave it to him and God called him to preach it, and he was saved by that gospel. And he was obsessed with that gospel. He said in Romans 1, "Paul, a bondservant, a willing, loving, obedient bondservant of Jesus Christ, called by God to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God. I've been chosen," he said. "I've been appointed, anointed by God, and I'm separated to one thing, and that's the gospel of God concerning his Son." In Galatians 1:9, he said this, "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached. Now that's confidence and that's assurance. He said, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that gospel which I have preached, let him be accursed. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:1, which I shared with you a moment ago, he said to the church at Corinth, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. It's the gospel which I preached unto you. It's the gospel which you received. It's the gospel wherein you stand. It's the gospel which you believe. It's the gospel by which you're saved. And woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And woe is unto you, might be added, if we preach the gospel and you do not receive that gospel. Now, here are four indisputable facts. If you listen carefully, I want you to pull your chair up a little closer now, and I want you to listen very carefully. Here are four indisputable facts. I know this to be so. It cannot be questioned. It's beyond question. It's beyond argument. It's beyond debate. Number one, the gospel is the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. It began with God. He purposed it. He planned it. He executed it. He applied it. He sustains it, and its ultimate completion will be by His hand. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the author and finisher of our faith. No one can question that. Paul said, I'm separated to the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. It's not the Baptist gospel or the Catholic gospel or the Jewish gospel. It's not even the gospel of Abraham. It's the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. Now, that's an indisputable fact. Here's the second thing. Now, I want you to listen to these. There's a word. I'm going to emphasize one word each time in these four things. It's the gospel of God. Underscore it. Circle it. It's the gospel of God. Secondly, it's the gospel of God's free grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. So this gospel is not only the gospel of God, but it's the gospel of grace, 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 free grace. And if it's of grace, it's not of works. If it's of works, it's not of grace. It cannot be both. You've got to take sides either on the side of works or the side of grace. You cannot have both. Now, here's the third indisputable fact, beyond question. The gospel, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you underscore that. It's the gospel of Christ. This is what Paul said in our text. It's the gospel of Christ concerning His Son, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, who was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's concerning His person and His work. That's an indisputable fact. Christ is the gospel. Then here's the fourth thing. This gospel, the gospel, I said when I began this, here are four unquestionable, indisputable facts. You cannot take issue with them. Not if you know the Word of God. The gospel is the gospel of God. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of Christ. And then fourthly, the gospel is the gospel of the power of God unto salvation. It's a powerful gospel. It's a gospel which is the dunamis. That's the word in Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to all nations. Our God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. And these things cannot be questioned. I challenge anyone listening to this program to question any of these four statements. This is the gospel. These things cannot be disputed. The gospel is God's gospel. It originated with Him. It's the gospel of God's free grace. It's the gospel concerning a person, Christ alone. And it is a powerful gospel. It is a life-changing gospel. It is an awakening, quickening gospel. It is a gospel that is the power of Almighty God Himself. So when is the gospel we preach the gospel? I'm saying that when the gospel is preached, you listen for them. You listen for these four things. These four things. When the gospel is not only evident, but clearly defined. When you listen to a man preach, and you listen with these four things in mind, the gospel is the gospel of God. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of the power of God. You listen for these four things, and they will be evident. They'll be evident in his message. They'll stand out in his message. And not only will they be evident, but they will be clearly defined in his message. Clearly defined. So this is what I'm going to give you now. This is my outline. I want you to listen to it, and I want you to think carefully on these four things. When is the gospel the gospel? When is the gospel the one and only gospel? The gospel God honors, the gospel God blesses, and the gospel God will use for his glory. Well, first of all, we preach the gospel, as I said before, when God is given his rightful place. When God, all the way through the message, from beginning to end, from the reading of the scripture, through the message and the prayer, when God Almighty is given his rightful place, we're preaching the gospel. When Moses came down into Egypt and demanded of Pharaoh that he let God's people go, Pharaoh asked Moses a question. I want you to listen to it. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. I know not the Lord you speak of. Neither will I let Israel go." Now, this is a good question for you to consider today. We listen to preachers preach. They say they're preaching God. They're preaching God, talking about God, using God's name. Who is the Lord? That's what Pharaoh said. Moses came into his throne room and said, God said, let the people go. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not your God. Well, who is our God? Who is our God? Well, first of all, our God is eternal. In Psalm 90, verse 2, David said, talking about the Lord God, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." We preach God who is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And our God is holy. He is just and he is righteous. All of the prophets talked of God's infinite, immaculate holiness. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the cherubims and seraphims cried, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." Our God is not only infinite and eternal, but our God is not only a spirit, but our God is just. He will by no means clear the guilty. He is a righteous and holy God. And our God is sovereign. What do we mean by sovereign? I mean this. The definition of the word sovereign is right there in the word. S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. God reigns. God reigns. They said, David, where is your God? David said, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Our God is absolutely sovereign, almighty, all-powerful in creation, in providence, and in redemption. Our God is love, and he delights to show mercy. Moses asked of him, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And the Lord replied, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee. My glory is my goodness. God's chief glory and greatest glory is his redemptive glory. And he said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful when to whom I will be merciful. So when is the gospel that we preach the gospel? You can preach a gospel that's not the gospel. And when we're preaching the gospel, we're preaching the gospel that glorifies God. It will bring God all the glory. Glory for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Now that's the first mark of gospel preaching. God will be glorified. When we compromise God's character, when we compromise God's attributes, when we bring God down from His rightful place of glory, not chief glory, all the glory, not some of the glory, all the glory. He will not share His glory. He is a jealous God, and we must not share His glory with anyone. Anyone. All right, secondly, when is the gospel the gospel? We preach the gospel when man is put in his rightful place. Do you know where man, you know where God's place is? The throne. You know where man's place is? The dust. That's right. Man is a fallen, depraved, guilty, helpless sinner. And the scripture said, at his best state, he's altogether vanity. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. From the sole of our feet to the top of our heads, there's no soundness in us, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying souls. Man is a fallen, wretched, depraved, guilty creature. And in the flesh, no man can please God. And even our righteousnesses, even our goodness, in God's sight, are filthy rags. Now, that's so. And we're not preaching the gospel unless we shut man's mouth and render him unable to offer one alibi or one excuse for his sins unless we put man in the position where he has no justification but the mercy of God. Listen to some scriptures, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. My friend, there's no final word like dead. Dead means without life. Dead means without hope. Dead means without anything at all. Just dead, lifeless. That's what he says we are by nature. Romans 5:12, by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death, spiritual death, passed upon all men for all sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:19, what the law saith, it saith to everyone under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Every mouth stopped, and all the world become guilty. The reason I preach this so emphatically and so strongly is because no man will ever be saved. No woman will ever know God in grace until that individual is firmly convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that by birth, by nature, by choice, by practice, we are sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if we say we have not sinned, well, we make God a liar and his word's not in us. The songwriter said, in my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. The gospel of Christ is addressed to sinners. Our Lord came to save sinners. He came to minister to sinners and he came to call sinners. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. So it's perfectly clear. If I preach the gospel, I preach God in his rightful place, and I preach man in the place that he has chosen, in the place where he has fallen, in the place where God's grace finds him. Inability, dead in trespasses and sin. All right, thirdly, when is the gospel the gospel? The gospel is the gospel when Christ is given his rightful place. Now I want to ask you the question of questions. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? Our Lord asked the disciples that question. He said, whom do men say that I am? And they gave some answers. They say, you're a prophet or a healer or some great teacher. He said, but whom do you say that I am? On another occasion, he asked the religious multitude, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I ask you, what think you of Christ? If you want to, turn the question back this way and ask me what I think of Christ. And I'll tell you. Number one, he's God Almighty. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, brought up in the carpenter shop, lived in Nazareth, walked the shores of the Galilee, died on the cross, was buried and rose again. He's none other than God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." He said, "You've seen me, you've seen God. I and my Father are one. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Let me tell you something. God is a spirit. You'll never see God except by one revelation. That's in Christ. When he says he sat down at the right hand of God, that doesn't mean there's another human body there. That's speaking of his position. That's speaking of his authority. That's speaking of his power. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one embodiment of God. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God. Every appearance of God in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came down to this earth, God walked on this earth. When he ascended to glory, he ascended in a body, in the body of a man. And Jesus Christ is God. Our God's one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you see Christ, you see God. Not only that, he's a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ came down to this earth in human flesh and walked on this earth. Not only that, what I think of Christ, he's God, he's man, he's the God-man. And he is our representative. By one man's transgression, many were made sinners. That's by Adam's transgression, identification with Adam, representation. Even so, in the same way, by one man, many were made righteous. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Adam I die, in Christ I'm made alive. In Christ I am complete. He is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. Everything I need, everything the law requires, everything justice demands, everything God Almighty himself requires is mine in Jesus Christ. He is my representative. Not only that, but he is my sacrifice and sin offering. By one offering, this man, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus Christ, our Lord, died on the cross, bearing our sins in his body on the tree, and by that sacrifice, all of our sins are purged, all of our sins are paid for, all of our sins are put away. They're cast behind the back of God to be remembered no more. He is a perfect sacrifice. He's the end of all sacrifices. And when that one final sacrifice and sin offering is made and presented before the Father in glory, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There remaineth no more consciousness of sin. There remaineth no more guilt of sin. We are clean in Christ. In Christ there is no sin. And then in the next place, what I think of Christ, he is my great high priest. Seeing I have a high priest at the right hand of God, I can come boldly into the very presence of God. I can come boldly before the throne of grace there to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. He is our high priest. He makes our prayers holy. He makes our praise holy. He makes our gifts and sacrifices holy. He makes us holy. Without Christ, we couldn't even come into the presence of God. Our communion with God is in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. He is our high priest and he is our mediator. There is one God and one mediator, not a host of mediators, only one. Don't ever pray in anyone else's name but Christ. Don't ever look to anyone else but Christ. Don't ever rest or trust in anyone else but Christ. Don't ever rejoice in anyone but Christ. Have no confidence in the flesh, only in Christ. I don't care how long ago they lived. I don't care what office they held. It doesn't matter what the world thought of them. There is no one who can intercede for the sinner except Jesus Christ. One mediator, Jesus Christ. And then he's our Lord. He's our Lord by decree. God hath made him Lord. God hath given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and that means every angel, every man, every devil, every demon, every creature. Every creature in heaven, earth, and hell, every knee will bow, and every tongue, every being that has a tongue, will confess that he's Lord. He's Lord by decree, he's Lord by design, and he's Lord by death. He died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. And he always has had, and he has now, and he always will have all authority in heaven and earth, all power over all flesh. He's our Lord. It's not will you make Christ your Lord. God's already made him your Lord. It's when will you bow and confess his lordship. He's Lord not only by decree and design and death, but he's Lord by choice. We have confessed him as our Lord. Now, we preach the gospel in the last place when the Holy Spirit is given his rightful place. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that eye hath not seen, the natural eye, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, unto the elect, unto the sheep, unto the believer, by his Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness to him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's what Christ told Nicodemus. You must be born again of the Word and of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that giveth life. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Our Lord declared that the Holy Spirit would take the things of Christ and show them to us. The Holy Spirit would not speak of himself, but he'll glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches believers. The Holy Spirit prays through us. The Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit is our earnest or token of everlasting inheritance. And the Holy Spirit empowers us for service and to glorify God by filling us with his power and with his wisdom. Yes, sir, the gospel is the gospel of God. And the gospel is preached when God is glorified. When God is exalted, when God is glorified in everything that's said. And the gospel is not only the gospel of God, but it's the gospel of his grace. When man is put where he is and where he belongs, in the dust, and made a recipient, not a giver, but a recipient of God's mercy. And when Christ is given his rightful place and honored and glorified in all things, and when the Holy Spirit is not put in front of Christ, but when the Holy Spirit is given his rightful place as the glorifier of Christ Jesus and the revealer of Christ Jesus. Now, this message is on a cassette tape, along with another message I'll bring next week, a message I'd like for you to hear. So if you want this message, write to us, send a $2 contribution, and we'll send you these two messages on tape. Until next week, may God bless you, everyone.